How good and fitting it is for us to praise our God and to say a hallelujah. This is the time of the year where you'll hear the hallelujah chorus. And I remember it wasn't that long ago where I realized what the hallelujah meant, that for the first part of hallelujah, the Hebrew for hallel, it's for praise, and the end is short for God, Yahweh. And so it's praise God, praise Yahweh, Jehovah Jesus. Surely it is a good for us to say hallelujah, praise to our God. In fact, the verse we're going to read today from Psalm 115, just the very first verse of that psalm, is going to direct us in this same manner. And so we're going to read just one verse for our text today before we look at the great subject of giving glory to God. So if you have Psalm 115 in verse number 1, and if you're willing and able, I would invite you to stand for the public reading of these wonderful words of life, and might we take them to heart. Psalm 115 and verse number 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. And let's thank our God for those now. Our Father, we do thank you that you are full of love. You are a love, that you are slow to anger and abounding in love and forgiveness. And we thank you for your truth, that it is impossible for you to lie, that you have given us your word, and we can count on what you tell us. And Father, we thank you for the great truth that is before us today, that to you alone belong the hallelujahs of this life. Lord, by your grace and through the power of your Spirit, might you work in us to be worthy worshipers, and might the words of our mouth and the thoughts in our mind and the actions of our life all point to you and say, to you alone be the glory. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. Well, I don't know about your family and what your family enjoys to do for some recreation and entertainment, but one of the things my family enjoys is we do enjoy watching movies and watching them together. And one thing that I have come to see that is true of every movie, in fact, I would say every type of movie, it doesn't make any difference whether it is an action movie or a drama or a comedy. It could be a fiction or science fiction, it doesn't make any difference whether it is a chick flick or a dude flick. Regardless of what kind of flick it is, there are some bookends that go around every movie. And those bookends are the credits. Whenever a movie starts, you might hear a little bit of music and you'll see some scenery coming up. And as it begins, and all of a sudden letters and words will appear upon the screen. You'll find out who made the movie, who produced the movie. You'll find out who the director is and who the producer is and who the star of the movie is. Who are the superstars? And the credits will roll on as the movie gets going. Now, some will get more credit than others, to be sure. Some will get bigger font. The letters will be bigger. It will be more prominent than others. There is those who get top billing, you know, when the credits roll for the story that is to be unfolded. But everyone involved, no matter how small of a part or how small of a role they played, eventually everybody that had a part in the movie will get some credit. Some at the beginning and everybody at the end. They will all get some credit for the story. In fact, one of the things that I have noticed now sometimes at the end of movies, that they'll put a little short scene at the very, very end, almost as an incentive to make sure that you'll watch the credits all the way through and see everybody's name, just so that you don't miss a name before you get to maybe some final teaser scene. And that's because credits are an important part to any story. They bookend maybe in every story. Well, today I want to ask, who gets the credit for salvation? Who gets the credit in the story of salvation? When the credits roll, who gets the glory? And so is salvation, when we think about the great work and the story of salvation, is salvation a cooperative act where, of course, God gets top billing? I mean, of course, he gets the biggest font. He gets the most prominent place and the most important credit of the story of salvation. But, you know, don't we all play a part? Don't we all at least have a small role in our story of salvation? Don't we get some credit, just like the carpenters and the grips and everybody else? That they all get a little part in the credits. When we sing, do we sing "To God be the glory, great things we have done"? Is that what we say, and is that what we sing, that we are also included in the credits? Or is it rather, "To God be the glory, great things he has done"? I mean, does God just not get top billing, but does he get the only billing and the only credit when it comes to salvation? Does God get the credit for every aspect of our salvation, even the part that we play in our salvation? And hey, we all play a part, do we not? Now, we have been in a kind of a short series dealing with some things that happened within a church history during the Protestant Reformation, and kind of highlighting, you might call them, five Protestant principles that are just kind of in the way that that we view life, we view Scripture, and the way that we view salvation. They are called the five solas. In fact, Stephanie printed them, and they're on the front page of our bulletin today. And these slogans kind of became a summary of Protestant thought during the revival that happened during the Reformation. There was Scripture alone, sola scriptura, and this was kind of the main general fight and the thing that went on. It was over this issue of authority, and what is the sole authority in life and faith? Where is it that we get the rules for life? God has set up authorities in life, but we said Scripture alone is the sole authority for life and faith, the only rule. It is the Supreme Court for what we learn about the rights and the wrongs of life and the gospel. There was Scripture alone. And then there's these ones that kind of primarily deal with salvation, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and because of Christ alone. The grace is the only motivating factor that God would have to save us. And the only way that we could get to God is through the vehicle of faith. And our faith doesn't save us, but it gets us to Christ, who is salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and because of Christ and his work alone. Well, today we come to the final slogan, the final summary, the final sola that summarizes it all. And it is sola Deo gloria, to God alone be the glory. Now, within the Christian religion, you will not have fights about whether we should give God glory. We would all believe that we should give God's glory, but there is a little angst over the word alone at the end. Is he the one that gets the glory alone? Does he not only get top billing in the credit, but is he getting the only billing in the credits? And so we're going to think a little bit today about giving God the glory alone. And this Protestant principle of sola deo gloria encourages us to see God's hand in every aspect of life. We are not deists that believes that God just created everything and kind of wound up the universe like a top, and he just kind of lets it go, and it's just kind of operating on some impersonal laws, and he's kind of backing away. No, God is intimately involved in every minute detail of his creation. And we recognize this, and we give him, the God, the glory for everything that happens within his universe. Yes, we give him the glory about our salvation, but also in everything else. In fact, there's an old Protestant catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and the very first question asks a question on the purpose of life. And it asks what would be these young children, what is the chief end of man? What is the reason that we are here? What is the very purpose in life? Why is humanity here? What is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That our reason for existence, the purpose that we were created, was in order to give God the glory. To give him the credit for everything. That when the credits roll at the beginning of our story, and when the credits roll at the ending of our story, the Christian says, to God alone be the glory. That he gets the glory for every aspect of our story. We say great things he has done. Sola Deo Gloria. In fact, there's a verse in Romans chapter 11, the very last verse of that chapter, that summarizes this beautifully, where we read, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I mean, that verse just summarizes this. To God alone be the glory, because of him, to him, and through him are all things. In fact, we are told in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that in all that we do, whether we eat or drink, in all that we do, we are to do for the glory of God. And not only in everything that we do, do we do for the glory of God, but God is to get the glory for all that we do. We are to give him the credit, to give him the glory. And you know, the opposite of this comes full circle into the sin of pride. You know, when we don't give God the glory, it's because we are guilty of the sin of pride, because pride is the sin. In fact, pride is what made the devil the devil. You know, what made this exalted cherub become the devil? Well, one of the main things is he was full of pride. He wanted some of the glory. He wanted his name on the credits. You know, and as fallen human beings, since we bought the devil's lie, we are also very tempted to take a little bit of the glory for ourselves. It's something that we are tempted with in every bit of life when we examine ourselves, and whether it's in just the everyday things of life or even in our religious things in life and maybe our salvation. We are tempted just to take a little bit of the glory and the credit for ourselves. But God tells us in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse number 8, He says, I am the Lord and that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another. There is something about the glory of God that God reserves for Himself alone, that He is the only one to receive the hallelujahs. And you know, there are many examples of this in the Scripture. I think of a king, Nebuchadnezzar, this king that God had exalted up to a very high place, ruler not only of his land, but he conquered much of his world, and he was just a tremendous king and leader, and accumulated so much. And we read in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30 that one day Nebuchadnezzar was looking around at Babylon, and he was just gazing at all the stuff that was around him and his great kingdom, and he says, look at this great Babylon and this city that I have made, that I did for my own glory. And he was filled with pride because of his success in life, which was at the very pinnacle of all of human beings. Nebuchadnezzar took credit for his success in life, all his great wealth. You know, the Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18 that the Lord is the one that gives you the power to attain wealth. God is the one that equipped Nebuchadnezzar to achieve so much in his life. But when Nebuchadnezzar took credit for his own success, God took away his human capabilities for a while. And he lived like an animal for a period of about 7 years because he thought he had to have the credit. And after a 7-year period of time, God graciously returned those capabilities back to Nebuchadnezzar. And when Nebuchadnezzar awoke from this insanity of his, he said, to God alone be the glory. That God's kingdom is the one that rules over all, and He does as He pleases with the peoples of the earth. And He is God, and He gets all the credit for the success in my life. You know, another king learned a similar lesson in the New Testament. King Herod, an evil king, and we read in Acts chapter 12 that at one time, you know, Herod as king and as in politicians are wanting to do, he gave a speech. He gave a great political stump speech, a great orator he was. And as he began to speak and the crowds trying to ingratiate themselves to the king just cheered and, oh, Herod, you're such a great speaker. And it's not even the voice of a man. It's a voice of a God. Oh, you're so eloquent. And Herod thought, you know what? I can talk pretty well. This is a pretty good speech that I'm delivering right now. And his heart was full of pride. And in Acts chapter 12 and verse number 23, it says, and because he didn't give glory to God, the angel of the Lord struck him, and he was eaten with worms, and he died. Boy, what a sight that would have been. Well, I think that might make a movie right there, you know. I mean, I think that would rival Indiana Jones and the, you know, when they went off into dust, or the thing Thanos, he snapped his finger. They all, here's a real life event of that. To where Herod, he gives a fabulous speech, and he becomes the original fast food for the worms. That's where fast food comes from, right there, where the worms just ate him up. Because he didn't give God the glory for the speech he had just delivered. There's a very famous a short poem called Invictus, that at the beginning part of it, he says, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. And it ends by saying, it matters not how straight the gate or how charged with punishments the scroll. I think probably a reference to Scripture there. But it matters not how straight the gate or how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate, and I am the captain of my soul. Oh, here is humanity following the lie and the pattern of Satan into such hubris and pride, in refusing to give God the credit and the glory. But you know that we should give God the credit for everything in life. That when we say that we are to give God the glory, we are to give God the glory alone. We read in Acts 17 and verse 28 that in Him we live, and in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. That we can't keep ourselves alive. We don't even have mobility without Him. A buddy was talking this morning how good it is to be around people that move. How is it that we are able to move and live and to have being and life within ourselves? Well, it's in God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 100 in verse number 2 that the Lord Himself is God. It is He that has made us, not we ourselves. We didn't do it. We didn't make ourselves. We can't move ourselves. It is God that infuses us with life and ability. And He is the one that should get all the credit. In fact, all the credit for all that we ever do. There's an amazing verse that in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 12, where we read this remarkable statement, Lord, You will establish peace for us, since You have also performed for us all our works. Wow, that the prophet, even when taking an assessment of His achievements, of His works, of all that He has done. He says, Lord, You have performed for us all our works. You see that when the credits roll at the beginning of life, and when the credits roll at the end of life, it says that God is the performer. He is the one that has performed in us even all of our works, our magnum opus, the best that we've ever achieved and accomplished, I don't get the credit for, because we say to God alone be the glory. In fact, there was a great composer, Johann Sebastian Bach. I have to say I didn't know a whole lot about the Bach, but I learned a few things this last week. And one thing Bach would do that I have read is that he would put his initials on his manuscripts, that he would put this JSB, Johann Sebastian Bach. But there was also a couple other sets of initials that he would put on his compositions and on his manuscripts, that at the beginning of his compositions, he would often put a J and a J, which was a Latin and a short in Latin for Jesus help. I don't know a Latin, but the JJ, it was at the very beginning of his manuscript, at the very beginning when the credits were starting to roll, he would put a J and a J, Jesus help, Lord help. I'm going to start working on something here. And Jesus, I need Your help at the beginning. He would put the J and He would put the J. And then after he would finish his composition at the end of his manuscript, he would put his initials, but then he would put SDG. Again, Latin, sola Deo gloria. At the very end of his great manuscript, he would say, to God alone be the glory. You see, one thing that I guess Bach recognized in life was where the credits should go. That at the very beginning, when the story starts to unfold, that as the words come up on the screen, it's Jesus, help me. Lord, help. Jesus, that's up to You. And then as the story unfolds and all the things happen, at the very end of it, it says, SDG, sola dea gloria, to God alone be the glory. If I have done anything in life, God gets the credit. The beginning credit goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the ending credit goes to God and to God alone, because God is the master of our fate. And God is the captain of our souls. Of Him, to Him, and through Him are all things. And so to God alone be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We sang, great things He has done. You know, that is why the scripture says that all boasting from flesh is to be excluded. God will have no one with pride in His presence about anything in life, but you might say especially about our so great a salvation. The text that I read at the beginning of this message from Psalm 115 and verse 1, I love it, the psalmist says, not to us, not to us, O Lord, but to Your name. It is to Your name that we give the glory. And so we must always be on guard that we don't say, you know, I want some credit. To us gets a little bit, doesn't it? But no, not to us. Not to us. The scripture says in Ephesians that we have been saved by grace and through faith, and it is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In fact, we read at the end of in 1 Corinthians that God said He will have no flesh, no man is to boast before Him, because it is because of Him that we are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom and righteousness. As the scripture says, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Our boasting and our glory and our hallelujahs are to go to God and to God alone. There's a great reminder of this in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 7, where we are asked, you know, what do you have that you did not receive? I mean, what do you have in life that you didn't receive it? And if you did receive it, then why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? I mean, everything in life, from the opening of our story to the end of our story, it all comes from God. And we are to give glory to God and to God alone. You know, I mentioned that our family likes the movies. And one, I guess, I don't know if it's a recent trend in the last few decades. But prequels have kind of become a trend in movie. I mean, it used to be sequels, you know, when a good movie would come out, and if I guess it made a lot of money, hey, say, let's try to do this again, and we'll tell you that what happens after, you know, do the sequel, what happens after the events of the first movie. Well, they started to do prequels. And that is, it's not what happens after, but it's telling the story before the story, to let you know what happened before this original movie came out. And do you know that boasting is to be excluded before God? Because there is a prequel to our part of the story. Yes, we are in the story, but there is a prequel to our story, and even to our story of salvation. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that He who began a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's the one that begins the work in us. His work in us precedes and is the prequel to our part of the story. Hebrews 12 and verse 2, that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. He is the author. He wrote the story. He begins it in us, and He is the one to complete the story at the end. He gets all the credit because He's in the prequel before our story. And so we say, to God be the glory. Great things He has done. at the very beginning, the credits roll and it says, Sola Deo Gloria. And at the end of the story, the credits roll and it says, Sola Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. Because God gets all the credit, even for our part. In fact, let me just rehearse some of our parts when we think of our salvation. And let me show you how the scripture says that God even gets the credit for our part. What about belief? I mean, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Surely our part in belief, don't we get a little credit for that after the movie goes? Well, the scripture says in Acts 18:27 that it is by grace that they believe. Or in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, that it has been granted to you on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but also to suffer. That belief, our own belief, has been granted to us by God in heaven. It is the prequel. Well, what about our conviction of sin? We all felt a conviction, of sin, and we felt this guilt and this conviction. But in John chapter 16, it says that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin, righteousness, and the judgment that is to come. That is the work of God, the prequel within our lives. When I feel conviction, it is because the Holy Spirit is in the prequel before I even feel it. Well, what about my repentance? That is my part of the story. And yes, it is. It's an important part of the story. But even my repentance has to be granted by God. We read in Acts 11 and verse 18 that they glorified God because He even granted the Gentiles repentance. They gave God the glory because the Gentiles repented. Because God's work in their lives preceded their part of the story. Well, in our part of the story, we choose Him. We choose Christ. But Christ tells us, you didn't choose me, but I chose you even before the foundations of the world. Well, didn't I exercise my free will? Isn't that part of my part? Yes, it is. But the scripture says in Philippians 2:13 that it is God who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We read in Psalm 110 in verse number 3 that His people will be willing in the day of His power. That in His prequel in our lives, He has enabled us to exercise our will to believe in Him. Isn't our part inviting Jesus Christ into our heart? Well, yes, it is. But Acts 16 and verse 14 says the Lord is the one that opened Lydia's heart so she was able to receive the message. And we read in the Old Testament that God is the one that takes out our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. His work, His credit is in the prequel before our story. Well, what about that time I stood up before the church and I gave my public confession of faith? I said, like Peter, Lord, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, it comes reverberating back to us as Jesus said to Peter, oh, Peter, this hadn't been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by My Father. The Father revealed this to you so that you could stand up and that you could say that I am the Christ. Well, what about that anyone who says Jesus is Lord? You know, it's an important part of our confession. You know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:3 that we cannot even say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible for us. He works in us before He is the prequel to our story. So He gets the credit for our story. Well, what about I'm the one that sought God. There was that time I was really seeking God and on my face, but yet the scripture says in Romans 3 and verse 11 that there was no one that seeks God. And yet Jesus said, I am the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. That I am the one that came to Christ, but Christ tells us in John 6:44 that no one can come to Me unless it has been given to him by the Father. And in verse 65 of the same chapter, that no one can come to Me unless he has been enabled by the Father. You see, even our faith, even our part, which is an important part, but it is a gift of God. It comes from God. He is the author and the finisher of it. And so He gets the glory for all of it. There will not be anyone in heaven throughout all of eternity that will stand up and boast and say, look what I did. Or God, look what we did together. To God be the glory. Great things we have done. Yes, Lord, you get top billing, but I get a little credit. I think it was a Spurgeon that said, if there was one thread in the fabric of salvation that is put there by me, then it will all unravel. And you know, if we start to take credit and glory for what belongs to God alone, I think that we're in trouble, because it is to God be the glory. Great things He has done. It is not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name we give the glory. I love Psalm 70 and verse number 4. Let all who seek You rejoice and be glad in You, and let those who love Your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. That is the song from our lips. To God alone be the glory. We don't have anything that we did not first receive from Him. If we love Him, it is because He loved us first. He is the one that began the good work in us, and He will complete it to the very last day. In fact, God is the one who performs all our works for us. And so as we close, I would just ask, when the credits roll on your life, what do they say? At the beginning of the story, when you came into being, the lights are there, there's the scenery, and there's words on the screen. Who made this movie? Who produced this story? Who directed and orchestrated all that's going to happen at the beginning of the story? And at the end of the story, who is on the credits? Oh, you might say, well, of course God gets top billing. Of course He gets the biggest font. Of course He gets most of the credit. But didn't I play my part? Oh, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquering soul, but I am the master of my fate, and I am the captain of my soul. Or do the credits at the very beginning, you put JJ, oh, Jesus help. Jesus is there at the beginning. He's the author of it. He is the one that made us, not we of ourselves. And then you get to the very end of it, and I have to put the initials as Bach did, S-D-G, sola, Deo, gloria, to God alone be the glory. When we roll the credits, and when you think about, who gets the credit for life? Is it to God be the glory? Great things we have done? Or is it He has done? I tell you, some of these just basic Protestant principles. What the Lord used to generate a great revival. Sola Scriptura. The Scripture alone is our only rule for life and faith. And all other authorities in life, whether it's in government or whether it's in church, everything is subordinate to God's Word and God's law. Scripture alone. And we are saved by grace alone. Nothing in me recommended me to God. It is simply because God is a God of grace. And the only way that I can get to God is by faith alone. It's the only vehicle that will get me to Christ, who alone is salvation. Christ purchased salvation. And when we are saved, when God graciously reaches down and redeems us and brings us to Himself, we say, to God alone be the glory. Great things He has done. Well, I hope as we go here this day, as we get ready to eat a little bit, that even in our eating and in our drinking, we will do it all for the glory of God. We'll say to Him alone, be the glory. That we can partake of the food that He's provided. He's the one that's given us life and breath and being and everything. And He's the one that's given us salvation. And so He gets the credit at the beginning and He gets the credit at the ending. Well, let's stand for a concluding hymn and word of invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back.
Well, I hope you're glad to be here today in this house. And the day is not done. We're going to have a fellowship, a meal here in just a little bit. And so everybody is invited. So please stay. Enjoy some good food as we enjoy the food God has given us, as well as interacting with one another in our most holy faith. And so as I close this in a word of prayer, I'm going to go ahead and return thanks for the food, so that as we go on back, we can just get in line and start enjoying the good things that God has given us. So let's close in prayer. Our Father, we do thank You. Father, we do ask for the forgiveness for our sins. We know that they are many. Father, know so prone to pride. And so, Father, I pray that You would forgive that sin, and that by the work of Your Spirit that You would root it out. And, Lord, help me and help all of us to give You all of the credit. And, Lord, we do give You the credit for the food that we are about to enjoy. You've been so good to us and given us so many good things. And we thank You for this good gift that comes down from You, and we pray that You might bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, and that You would also smile upon our fellowship with each other. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.